We read God's word from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often indeed intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations like with women, and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameful acts with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. We've considered the man who has written this letter, Paul. We have thought about his heart's desire, the preaching of the gospel, that which he was called. Last Lord's Day evening, We reviewed who he had sent this letter to, the saints at Rome, called by God's grace. So now we turn our attention to the introduction, as it were, the prayerful introduction that we have in verses 8 through 15. And I want to look at these verses under the following three headings. It's great what God's doing there. I really want to come and be part of it. I want to come and I'm eager to preach the gospel. It's great what God's doing there. I want to come and be part of it. I want to come and preach the gospel. It's great what God is doing there. He begins by saying, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. He never gets to a second, by the way. It shows the genuine authenticity of a letter like that, because if it had been written and rewritten and rewritten, some would have said, well, you began with the first there, but you never got to a second, so we need to get first out. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. He thanks God for these men and women whom God has called to be saints in Rome. The reason for his thanking God, he tells us, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Their faith is being talked about. It's great what God is doing there in Rome. Note, it's not simply that people are talking about the church. People are talking about the faith that these men and women in Rome possess and are living out. It's a wonderful thing when the church of Jesus Christ is being talked about. Sadly, too often, it is talked about in negative terms. Good news never seems to travel as fast as bad news. You never hear of the work of Christ growing. If there is in our society, as there has been in the past decade, a split in the church, then that makes national headline news. You never hear of those who are being saved and added to the church. You just hear of the decline of the church. The world, you see, has no interest, really, in communicating the growth of the church. It only has a desire to speak ill of the church. Here, because of the faith of these men and women, their faith is being proclaimed, talked about all through the world. What is faith? What is it that is the subject of the discussion of these people? What is it that has carried this message? What is it that men and women are talking about? Well, they are talking about the fact that there are people in Rome who now believe in Jesus Christ. They are talking about people whose lives have been changed. Men and women who formerly did not believe in Jesus Christ, who did not walk in the ways of the world, did not walk in the ways of Christ, who now do believe in Jesus Christ and are walking in the ways of Christ. Men and women who, by God's grace and the power of the Spirit, have had their eyes open to see the truth. Men and women who, by God's grace and by His Spirit, have had their hearts regenerated to embrace the truth that their renewed minds have received. Men and women who now, as they think on their life, think about Jesus Christ often, if not daily. As the writer to the Hebrews says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Here were men and women who now had a newfound hope for eternity. They were sure that when they died, they would go to be with Jesus Christ. They were sure of that, even though they had never seen it. That is the essence of their faith. And that was demonstrated in the words that they spoke, and the decisions that they took, and the way in which they lived their lives. Formerly, they lived their lives with no regard to God. They were out with the reality of God in their life. They had no hope. They had no prospect of eternal life. But now these men and women, in the decisions that they're taking day and daily, are communicating to their neighbours and their friends that we really do genuinely believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He is the Saviour. That He is the rock of my salvation. And their lives have changed. People and their families remarked about how their lives had changed. How their language had changed. You don't hear that word come out of his mouth any longer. How their attitudes had changed. He used to be a real character, that boy. His attitudes changed. How their desire to work had changed. How their desire to be with other people who loved God the same as they loved God. And this reality of the change in their life through the work of God's Spirit in their life was being talked about not only in Rome, but it had spread like a wave rippling out across the surface of the earth. Now, Paul is not saying here that every human being in the world knew that the people in Rome were believers in Jesus Christ. Of course he's not saying that. But there were many people in the world who had heard about this group of people living in Rome, first century Rome, who were walking in the ways of God. And it made great news for talking about. I delight when I go to America to hear and to speak to people as they come up to me and say, "We've heard a lot about you and about the church in Airdrie." It gives me a great sense of joy. At the synod meeting this year of the RP Synod held at Geneva College, the number of men who come up and introduce themselves to me and said, "I've heard a lot about you and about the church in Airdrie." I was overwhelmed by it. It's amazing how the faith that God has given us has rippled out across the world into Ireland, to America, Australia. They know about the church in Japan. We were finding out about the church in Japan here on Wednesday evening. How we have learned of their faith. How we have seen how God has worked in their lives. How He has come, how many of those living in that city of Kobe have come to believe in Jesus Christ and the five congregations that are now there in the mission station. And it's wonderful. And it's delightful to be part of a worldwide church where we can encourage each other by God's work in our lives and our service for Christ. It enriches our lives. It brings a joy to our lives. It's one of the blessings of being part of a worldwide Presbyterian Church. The children are looking this morning about Andrew Melville. And Andrew Melville was the guy in Scotland who said there's one biblical form of church government. And that is Presbyterianism. It's one of the blessings of us belonging to a worldwide Presbyterian church is that we are both talked about and we can hear about others being talked about. And it's a stimulus, it's an encouragement. It's a blessing to us to hear this word of what God is doing across His church in the world. We should delight in that. Note though, that Paul, when he writes to these people, says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. You see, it's God who has done this work. It is God by His Spirit who has opened their eyes to see. It is God by His Spirit who has opened their ears to hear. It is God by His Spirit who has renewed their mind. It is God by His Spirit who has regenerated their heart. It is God by His Spirit who has enabled them to embrace the truth by faith. And that there is none of us here this evening who have been truly converted by God, who have done that on our own. We have received that authoritative call from God through His Word. That call was effectual to us. It called us with such a degree of power and authority and accuracy and intimacy that we could not and cannot deny it. Saw that last Lord's Day evening. But it is God's call to us. It is God's working in our lives. We are here because God's doing this thing in our lives. And if Christ continues to build this church and continues to bring more people into this church to hear the gospel proclaimed and to see those men and women saved and those young people saved, then it will forever be the church of Jesus Christ. It will forever be the work of God. And we will forever give thanks to God. To no man, no woman, no one else. We will thank God. Now, do you hear that? Do you hear that? We will thank God because it is only God's work. And that's important because as this church goes, some of us may feel that we're beginning to get a wee bit more important than the others. We want to bounce up and down on our toes and say, you know, I have this job in this church. I have that job in this church. And I'm responsible for this, or I'm responsible for that. None of us should be bobbing on our toes. We all should be down on our knees. None of us should be reeling off our tongue, I have this role in the church, or I'm responsible for this, or I'm the guy that does this, or I'm the woman that does that. It's not good. It's not good. It's Christ. It's Christ. We give thanks to Christ for what He has done in laying down His life as an atonement sacrifice, as a propitiation for our sins. You and I are here, my friends, tonight solely and only because of the mercy and the grace of our God. And let us keep telling each other that. And if you hear somebody getting up onto their toes and telling about what they're doing, take them aside afterwards and say, hold on. I think you need to get down off your toes and remember who you are. It's only by God's grace that you're here. God has privileged you for this job. This is not an office to parade in or a role to say you have some. Just get down off your toes. God's thankful for all of us. And it is a joy and a thanksgiving that this church, this congregation, is being a cause for rejoicing and encouragement around the world. That's something that we should delight in. That's something that we should humbly be thankful for. Not in arrogance, not in pride, but in humble thanksgiving to God that we, I've heard a lot about the Church of Jesus Christ in Airdrie, that we are privileged to be part of this congregation that Christ is building for His glory. It's great what God's doing there. I want to come there and be part of it. I want to come there and be part of it. He says in verse 9, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayer, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. I long to see you. Paul really wanted to go to Rome. Do you know when sometimes someone says in the bottom of a letter they write here, now it's an email, and they say, I would love to come to Scotland, or I would love to come and visit with you. It's just one of those things that you say. You know, if I'm ever in your part of the world, I'll pop in and see you. And you'd be surprised if someday the doorbell went and there they were standing at the door. You know? Well, you could have given us half an hour notice and we could have sort of the place tidied up a wee bit for you. That's not what was Paul's thing here. Paul wasn't thinking, I'd just love to drop in on this. Paul here is an intense desire. An intense desire. A longing. Strong desire. The Greek here is of an ardent desire. It's a persistent desire. It's a longing desire. It's a passionate desire. It's something that's not going to go away. He wants to come to Rome. He has been unable to do so to date. He gives an explanation in verse 13. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you. It wasn't yesterday that I desired to come one time and he'd been put off and he thought I'll go again sometime, but he put off. No, he had frequently thought of the desire to go to Rome and be with the people there, but he's quite clear in stating to them, God's my witness that this desire is real. As my God lives, I'm telling you the truth. I have wanted to go there with all my heart. And not sufficient with that, he tells them in verse 13, but thus far, I have been prevented from doing so. He's underscoring again this fact that he wants to come and be with them. It's something that he repeats later on to his desires to be with these people, to dwell with them and to encourage them. He keeps praying. He's not easily put off. He says, verse 9, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers. It's not a case that I have remembered you occasionally when I've looked at my map and I've seen Rome, and that has drawn my attention to what is happening in Rome, and I'm thankful for God's mercy and God's work of grace in Rome, and I'm glad that the word has been preached and many people have been converted. And when I think of you and I see that map of Rome and I pray to you, no, he says, I pray earnestly and I pray without ceasing. I continuously pray. I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, his longing is to be there, but he realizes that he will only be there when God permits him to be there. He desperately wants to go to Rome. He has been hindered thus far, been prevented, stopped from coming. But he wants God to make it within his will, that's God's will, that somehow he can go. He wants God to make this happen. The desire is earnest, but he is submissive to the reality of God's rule in his life. God would give Paul the opportunity to go to Rome. He didn't get there in the way that he probably anticipated. He went there as a prisoner. He spent his days in Rome in prison. I would think that Paul, when he thought of going to Rome, thought that it would be like many of his other journeys. That he would make that journey. He would travel the road by sea at a time of his own will, in the sense of when God would make it possible. He would make the arrangements and they would go and he would travel and be there. But God did not permit that to happen. God permitted him to go there, not in the way that Paul had probably perceived he would go, but as a prisoner. And so this longing was realized. And how often it is in our lives that when we desperately want something, we really, really want it. We genuinely want it. It's not just saying, I would like to do this and maybe if I could do that. There's deep within us a desire, a longing. I must have this thing, and we pray for it and we search God for it. God doesn't always give it to us the way that we want it. We have a preconceived idea. I will do it this way. If God opens the door, then I will travel this route. I will take these decisions and I will end up at this location, whatever that location is, or that way of life. But God doesn't always allow that to happen. God gives us the desire of our hearts. But He doesn't always give it to us the way in which we want it. And we have got to live and be submissive to God. We've got to accept the authority of God. We've got to accept that God's way is the right way. So often we say, well, God, I would go that way and I really would like to do that thing. And you know, I've been praying with that, but that's not the way that I wanted to do it. I didn't want to do it that way. Somehow, if in your mind you could do it another way. If you could bring yourself to do it my way, then we'd both be in line. You know the desire of my heart. You know how much I pray for this. But you seem to be giving it to me in another way. Surely you can see that this is the best way. And God says, no. My way is the best way. I put that desire in your heart. I called you to pray in that way. But I'm showing you that you're mine. I'm not yours. I'm not here just to give you what you want. I can well remember, as a young man coming out of theological college in Ireland, thinking to myself, I really, really don't want to cause people a lot of pain in this church. So I'm going to step back from the ministry. Maybe sometime in the future God will open up an opportunity for me to be a church planter, where I will go in and into a raw situation and minister in that raw situation. And I'll be able to preach to people and teach people and lead people in the way that I understand the Word of God is to be preached and taught and led. I sat for 4 years waiting on God. And every door seemed to be closing. Until God said, now it is time to go. And when I had made my heart's desire and mind up that I would go to any church, an Irish RP church, that I'd open up the door and go anywhere that God wanted me to go to in Irish, when I eventually submitted my will to that reality, God brought me to Scotland. I never thought about coming to Scotland. I never prayed about coming to Scotland. But God gave me my heart's desire. The desire of my heart was to work in a church planting situation. And God said, you're not good enough to work in a church planting situation, Andrew. You don't have the ability, nor do you have the energy, nor do you have the capacity to do it. So what I'll do is I'll give you 20, 25 people. Some of them will believe in Jesus. Maybe some of them don't believe in Jesus. Quite a few of them probably didn't. But are you prepared to submit to my will? Are you prepared to do what I want you to do? I want to come. I want to be part of it, Paul says. I long to be part of it. I desperately want to come and be part of this thing that's happening there. God says, okay, but you'll come on my terms when it suits me. And why does he want to come? This is amazing, my friends, when you think about it. He says that I want to be with you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, verse 11, to strengthen you. Hold on here. Did we not say that this church was being talked about in the world? Did Paul not say that this church is being talked about in the world? Was that not what was on Paul's lips? Why then is there this need for Paul then to go and to strengthen them? Why is there a need for him to go there and fulfill the role of someone who is going to preach in order that surely they're strong enough? Well, Paul realizes Paul realizes that although God has done great things in Rome, yet there is still a work to be done in their lives and in his life. For he says in verse 12 that we may be mutually encouraged, you've heard that before, by each other's faith, both yours and mine. That we may be mutually encouraged. See, Paul was saying God has done great things in Rome. Many people have been converted. Many people now walk in the ways of God. But we're not perfect, are we? None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect until the day that we die. And at that moment, then our souls are made perfect in Christ. Our bodies are laid in the grave until Christ returns. But up to that point, we are still in need of being strengthened. And Paul had grasped this. He delighted in the work that God had done in their lives. He was thrilled by what God had done in the lives of these men. He thanked God continuously for the work that he had heard that had taken place in Rome. And yet he knew that it wasn't finished. He longed to go to them that they might receive a spiritual gift, a general spiritual gift, that through the preaching of the gospel he might encourage them to walk in the way that they were already walking in. He longed to be with them that they may be strengthened in their faith. But he wanted to reap a harvest among them. He says in verse 13, I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you. He anticipates fruit to be born. This church was talked about throughout the world. Their faith was known of across the world. And yet here is Paul saying, I want to come that I may reap some more harvest in your lives. I want to reap a harvest, the fruit of the Spirit. I want to see others saved. This church hasn't stopped. This church is just beginning. And I ask you tonight, is that the desire you have for this church? I ask you more personally, is that the desire you have for your life? Is that the desire you have for your life? Do you desire to be mutually encouraged and strengthened in your faith? Well, isn't it great that nearly everybody in this building is involved in a weekly study of God's Word with that goal in mind? With that desire to be mutually encouraged in the faith. Did you think I just made that term up? I've never made anything up in my life. I'm not creative enough. But think of how that term and the outworking of that term in many of our lives has strengthened us in our faith. Those of us who are genuinely believers in here tonight enjoy and delight in getting around the Word of God, don't we? We grow from that. We have been blessed from that. The reality of that in our lives is something that we long to receive. We want it. We miss it during the summer. A number of people came to me in August time and said, when are the Mets starting again? I said, well, we need a wee bit of a break. But I can't live without them. I need this intake of God's Word during the week. It's great getting it twice in the Lord's Day. But I need the fiber of the truth of the living God in my system. I long for that. It's something that I want. It's something that I desire. It's something that I need. Paul longed to go here that they may mutually encourage the faith. Are you expecting a harvest from your life? Are you expecting a harvest from your life? Or are you sitting back thinking you have made it? Are you sitting back thinking that's me? Well, let me tell you. You're still breathing, so it's not you. Christ's not finished reaping a harvest in your life. He's not finished it. Joy from Egan out this morning, and someone said to me, you know, we're just beginning. We're just beginning the Christian faith. We're just beginning the Christian walk. Isn't that tremendous? There are those of you in this building who are just seeing this. This is us just beginning. Those of you who have been in faith for years. Some of you have been in the faith for years. You see, we're just beginning. We're just beginning this walk with Christ. We're just beginning this walk with God. We're just beginning this walk with the Holy Spirit. We're excited about being built in our faith. We're excited about the work that God's going to do in our lives. We're excited about the harvest that He's going to reap. My friend, tonight, are you excited about the harvest that God is going to reap in your life and through you? Are you up on your toes bouncing saying, I've made it. Are you excited about the prospect of the Word of God coming to you with power and authority and calling you to walk in a closer walk with Jesus Christ and desiring that with passion and longing? Are you hungry for the fruit of the Spirit? Are you hungry for them? Are you hungry to see those whom you know who are not saved, saved? Are you hungry to see them walk in the ways of the living God? Paul says, "I, it's great to see what God's doing. I want to come and be part of it. I want to be part of this. I want to be part of God's work. This is God's work and I want to be there. I've wanted to come, but I've been resisted from coming. Things have gotten my way. Through no fault of mine, I've been able to come. But I want to come that I may strengthen you, that you may strengthen me, and that together we may see a harvest rendered. Do you not long for a harvest being rent in Airdrie? You know, is your heart not longing for that? Do you not want that? Do you not want that? Do you not want the chaos, my friend, of not knowing who the person sitting beside you is? Not because you don't want to know, but because they're a new person. Do you not want the chaos of the elders in this church panicking because they're not able to control the situation? I long for the day when this church is out of control in a godly way, when we're incapable of controlling it. I long for the day when I'm getting up in the morning and I'm starting to get there. I'm starting to wake up in the middle of the night thinking to myself, I can't manage all this on my own. I need to give some to Ian and Sam. Well, they're getting on with it. We need to get new men in. Men who are filled with the same passion, the same vigor, and the same enthusiasm. Men who want to walk in this way. We need to get men in who will desire this strengthening. Men who will long for the strengthening of the people of God. Men who want to see a harvest, great harvest gleaned. It's great when Christ brings chaos to the church, a godly chaos, where there's people coming in and only the Spirit is doing the work. And men are no longer able to manage all that has to be done. How is it going to be achieved? It's great what's happening there. I want to come and be part of it. I'm eager to preach the gospel. The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That which is powerful to the changing of lives of men and women. The preaching of the gospel. It's all we've got. Is the preaching of the gospel. But what is that we've got? The mighty power of the gospel. As we shall see next Lord's Day evening. That which is powerful unto salvation. That which is powerful unto strengthening. That which is powerful unto reaping a mighty harvest. It's great what God's doing in this church. It's great. It's amazing. But it's great what God's doing here. Do you really long to be part of it? Are you busting at the seams to be part of it? Are you excited about being part of it? Does it consume you with a great desire and a great passion to be part of what Christ is doing here? Do you long that you would strengthen those brothers and sisters in this church? Yeah, we can gossip all we want about what they're doing wrong and what they're doing right or this thing or that thing. But do you long to see them strengthened in the faith? Do you long to see a harvest reaped in their lives? Are you praying with an earnestness to see men and women sitting in this building who you know are not converted tonight? Are you praying that they will be born again of the Spirit of God? Those who come here in the Lord's Day morning who are not born of the Spirit of God, are you praying that they will be born again of the Spirit of God? Does that cause you to stop and to think? Do you long for it? Or are you up on your toes saying we're doing all right? Well, then you pray. Pray for the preaching of the gospel. Pray for the preaching of the gospel, that it may be mighty unto salvation, and it may be mighty unto building us in the faith, that as we go forward, and Christ builds His church, that many, 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 many will hear and give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for what He is doing in this place. Give thanks to God for what He is doing in this place. Amen. Father, it is Your work. We give You thanks for it. We pray You'll give us a great desire to be part of it, to strengthen one another, and to see a great harvest born in each other's lives. We pray for the preaching of the gospel, that it will be mighty unto salvation and the maturing of the saints. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.